Listen up, hockey fans, you're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, smack dab. Well, not even dab in the middle of round one. We are on to round two as that kicked off this evening. The NHL, nothing like the NBA. They don't waste time. They just get right to hockey.
Yep.
NBA, what do they take? 2 week break before the next round?
No, probably like 3 days.
Jesus. 3 days. Craziness.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I don't know what you think, Blake, but round one to me,
it's probably been it's one of the most exciting first round. I'm trying to think of a first round that sticks out to me.
This to me has been the most engaging that I can remember.
Like, I found myself watching every series, almost every series except the Carolina Islanders series.
Me too. That was the only one. And like, you know
I
what?
I tried to catch most of the games.
And there was a couple series, and we even talked about it last week. There was a couple series that I was that snuck up on me out of nowhere. Like, I wasn't too engaged in the Florida-Boston series. Well, I sure as hell was come game five. And then I wasn't engaged in the Seattle-Colorado, and look where that took us.
Yeah, no, that actually turned out to be one of the best series of them all.
Right?
I mean, and you gave Seattle no credit. Like,
no,
you said they wouldn't even compete with them.
No, I didn't think they would. But I don't think I'm alone in that.
Like, I thought they like,
you can't games. You can't like turn.
I thought they win a couple games.
Let me refresh my memory here. I don't believe you picked them either. Let me see.
No,
here.
I pick Colorado in six.
Yeah, and I picked Colorado in five. Okay, well, that's not a hell of a lot of difference there.
Well, but yeah, I just like.
I mean, nobody thought
that series just like, they just skate so quick. They're so quick, and they're deer big, and they're strong on the forecheck. Everything, like, they didn't have the best of goaltending in that series either, and they
he was good when he needed to be.
Right? Yeah, he was really good in Game Seven.
That's one of eight series. Yeah, eight series that we're gonna have to talk about today, and. Some more than others as we go through this. We'll talk about how we did in our predictions, which wasn't really very good. And then we'll talk about round two. We got a lot to talk about. And this day's been a freaking hectic day. I just got done with my son's baseball games, and they had a sweep tonight. So
What'd you do on the weekend? Anything?
I did yard work. It was warm here, but windy as hell. I got my first round of golf scheduled tomorrow.
I went out twice. Back days. Yeah. I went out Saturday afternoon, and then I went Sunday morning. Shot a 50 front, just a nine. Shot 50 on the front, and then the second day I shot 48. So, but I haven't really golfed in a couple years though. So, yeah. I'm gonna get out and probably get a membership this year and golf a lot. That'd be good.
It's good. I like it. And I'm excited to go tomorrow.
It's good exercise too.
It is.
Because it helps though, like, when you drop a bunch of weight, it's less strain on my knees and back. It's easier to, like, my hips, quicker hip rotation in the swing. So it's been better to get around on the course. It's been good.
Weather's finally nice tonight. No wind. I think it was about 63, 64 degrees. Beautiful night to watch baseball, and two wins over the arch rival.
Your son plays baseball? Yep. Travel ball?
High school ball, yep.
Nice. Yep.
So two big games tonight. Wins. He pitched in the first game and allowed zero runs. That's good. In the second game, they won 12 to nothing. And so, yeah, all's good.
Yeah,
golf tomorrow, and I'm watching playoffs.
It's fun watching kids at that age.
Yeah,
it's good.
They make some amazing plays, and in some plays you think are going to be really, really routine, don't look very routine. Crazy. Yep. All right, let's get the show going here. We got Stanley Cup round one to talk about, then round two preview. We're going to go around the league, talk about Sutter getting fired, Zach Parise's future, some salary cap penalties, Yotes doomsday, and a little bit of dilemma in Winnipeg. Let's get this thing going and get right into round one. And we always start in the East, and we'll continue that trend tonight. And a great one to talk about. Let's get on that Florida-Boston series that, boy, poof, this one did not disappoint. And, you know, I don't think anybody saw this coming. And if you did, nobody, don't even lie to me.
You're lying.
Nobody saw this coming. This was a really good series. It all changed in game five, and Boston's up 3-1 at that point. All but game two, Boston was pretty much in control, I thought, the whole way. Game five, Florida comes back, wins 4-3, and then they win the next time in game six, 7-5, and then 4-3 in overtime. Wow.
Well, how about this, though? Like, this is just crazy. So game five, Brad Marchand literally has a breakaway with 1 second left, chance to win the series, misses. They win in overtime, right? They go back to Florida game six, win that game, and then they win in overtime in game seven. Like, it was just a crazy, crazy up and down, right? I mean, yeah, you had Alex Lyon start the series, first two games, played well game one, didn't play well game two, and then all of a sudden you got your $10.5 million backup come in, and he ends up coming in and saving the day, right? He played unbelievable in game five, six, seven. He was great.
Wait a second, Blake.
What?
Did I just hear you say Sergei Bobrovsky was great?
he did his job. I don't think they win without him.
You've been his biggest freaking critic.
I have been.
I can tell you rightfully so.
Him and Tkachuk dragged him back in the fight.
They did.
They did. Those two single-handedly. And, I've never seen Boston get pushed around that much, like forecheck wise, and like they were just on their heels, like from game five to seven, like all game long, right?
We talked about it. The goaltending decisions in this series were crazy back and forth, and we saw four goalies play.
Yeah, but for Florida, I think that was the easier one, right?
I agree.
It's like Lions lost the first two. Okay, yep. you go to Bobrovsky, yep. Right?
Easy one.
They stuck with Allmark for six games. He just didn't look right to me. He didn't look like he was moving properly.
Is he injured? Did you hear anything yesterday?
I haven't heard anything either. I haven't heard anything yet, but it would not surprise me to see if he was dealing with like a lower body, a hip injury or something. Because I watched him a lot during the season because I like watching him play. Like he's a fantastic goalie. It just seemed to me like he wasn't getting to pucks like quicker. He was getting beat post to post a lot, which wasn't happening in the regular season. And they end up going to swim in game seven. And I mean, I don't think any goalie stopping that for Hagee overtime shot. That's just beautiful. That's a beautiful, perfect shot. But all the Bruins fans were saying, why didn't you put Swayman in earlier? It's like, really, dude? Like, Allmark's been your rock all year long. He's going to win the Vezina.
How do you make that argument?
They had a 3-1 series lead. He won three of the first four games. Like, yeah, you can say, we didn't have Bergeron, blah, 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 Krejci. But, like, at the end of the day, like, that's a veteran team. They've been the best team in the NHL all year long, and they just didn't show up in game seven. They didn't start playing until half the damn game. It was 2-0, and then they said, oh, shit, we better get it into gear here. They end up taking the lead, and then the Panthers tie late on a beauty goal by Montour.
Who's been clutch.
Who's been good. He was good again tonight against Toronto. And then Verhage snipes in overtime. Like, it was just it was a gutsy win, gutsy series win. Well coached. I mean, I love Paul Maurice. He's such a good coach, man.
Always said he's one of my favorites.
Tkachuk, what can you say? I think he had 12 points in seven games. He was doing everything.
Is he the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs so far?
Well, yeah, I think he is. He had another 3 points tonight in game one against Toronto. Like, this guy is just unbelievable. He got absolutely cranked a couple times today, which you don't see very often. But he also claimed a couple victims himself.
But if anybody gets cranked, then it's not going to go down. It's him.
No, like, he was so good tonight. Again, you just notice him every time he's on the ice. Like, he's in on the forecheck, hammering guys. He's setting up plays. Oh, my God. Seattle scored 3 straight goals in like 2 minutes. It's 4-2. Holy shit. That's insane.
Let's roll on over to the Islanders-Carolina series, and probably the series will be able to go through the
quicker.
That series ends in 6 with the Carolina winning game 6, 2-1, and I don't know. I mean, am I mean?
We talked about this, right?
Such,
I mean, low-scoring, low event, like, defensive series. Islanders aren't going to score much goals. They ended up scoring 5, I think, in game 5 to keep their season alive. That was really the only game that...
No, they scored 3.
What? Didn't they score...
They scored 5 in game 3.
Oh, 3, game 3. It's right. Yeah. So, yeah.
In a game that was over, they win 5-1. I mean, so...
Right.
Goals tend to come a little easier.
Right. So... Like, this series didn't surprise me. Something to keep an eye on going forward, though, for Carolina is, who do you go with in that, right? The last two, Anderson played. He played okay, I guess. He played good enough, but they went with Ranta for 4 of those games. So,
you know what's weird about this? Name me a team right now that's onto the second round that's riding one goalie. I can name one.
Well, the Leafs.
No.
Leafs-Rhodes.
Yeah. What? Yeah, they did, I guess.
He got pulled in game 1. That's
it. And so did Ottinger.
And Andre, yeah.
Oh, and Grubauer too. Grubauer's played every.
Yeah, time. Because Jones hasn't played. He hasn't played. Also 3.
Screw that comment. I guess I'm wrong.
Yep.
Okay. On to a series where we saw a goaltender emerge. Let's talk about the Rangers Devils game 7. Ended it last night, and the Devils just flat out smothered the Rangers last night in a game that I watched, and I thought the whole time, I was like, "Am I seeing this right?"
I was telling my dad, this is the most embarrassing effort I've ever seen in a game 7. It's flat out embarrassing. The amount of talent that the Rangers have, they had 8 shots after the second period. 8.
It was brutal.
Like, what? Like, just hanging Igor Shesterkin out to dry. The Devils had like 6 2-on-1s the first 2 periods. It looked like they was just like a lazy skating on a Sunday. Like, the Eagles on that team, we talked about it when they got all those players, like the Canes, the Tarasenkos, the me guys, right? I mean, I don't know, man. It was an embarrassing effort. I mean, credit to the Devils, right? Down 0-2, they get embarrassed games 1 and 2 at home. They rattle 3 in a row. They sweep the 2 in Madison Square Garden. They end up coming back. They win game 5, and then the Rangers keep the season alive in game 6, and they just dominated them in game 7. But it was the emergence of Schmid, man. What's his first name? Akir Schmid?
I was going to say, what, do we even know who this guy is?
Akir Schmid.
I Googled him.
He played in USHL. He played USHL.
He did. He's a 22-year-old Swiss goaltender. Did he not play at Mankato, too?
I don't think so.
I thought I saw that.
You might have to check. Well,
we're gonna work on this here as we do this. So,
Schmid Devils.
He looked very calm. Did he not?
He did. I mean, did you see those gloves saves me yesterday? Schmid looked easy.
Oh, it was fun to watch.
Let me see here. He played. Oh, what is this? He played Corpus Ice Rays in the NA, and then he went to the Omaha Lancers.
Sioux City. And yeah, was signed. No, he didn't. Jeez, he didn't play college hockey. He went right out of the USHL.
He played 2 games. He played 1 game in the dub with Lethbridge.
Way back.
way back, 2018. And they played two in the Knoll, and then he played parts of three seasons between Omaha Lancers and Sioux City Musketeers, and then he went right to Utica. So
that's not a road you usually take. I mean,
especially for like a Swiss guy, like you usually see those like overseas guys go college route, right? So long road travel for this guy. In 18 starts this year in the regular season, a 2-1-3 and a 9-2-2 save, right? You went 9-5-2. This playoffs, 1-3-8 and a 9-5-1. If it wasn't for that game he led in five goals, he would have had a goal against under one. Yeah, it was
the only guy that's probably been better is Ottinger.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's Ottinger's been good. Not off to a hot start today. 4 goals on 10 shots. But this Schmid kid, he's impressed me a lot. And we talked about after the first two games where they look like a nervous team, a young team that's never been in a playoff game, and they were just nervous.
They got
blown out 5-1 in games 1 and 2, and then they just flipped the switch. Like, you got to give credit, Heischer and Jack Hughes have been really good for them. 1-2 punch down the middle. Okay, we need to talk about the hit.
Hang on. Before we get to that, when you watch Heischer, do you know who he reminds me of? A flat black.
Spit it out! What
a blast from the past in New Jersey. He reminds
Patrick Elias
Henrique.
Ooh, that's not really a blast. It's 5 years ago. Yeah. A blast from the past would have been Patrick Elias. That would have been a blast. Okay.
So what's your thoughts on this hit? Trouba gets Meyer head down, and bam-o, whammo, slam-o.
Listen, I went on Twitter, and I said that is Scott Stevens.
Oh, and I saw that, Blake, and I almost chirped you. I almost chirped you.
Is he out of retirement?
You didn't. How do you know, Blake? You didn't even watch Scott Stevens.
Yeah, the 2003 Stanley Cup final is one of the first finals that I remember. I was five. One of the first finals that I remember. I'll tell you. I have a DVD, a 2003.
The Don Cherry Rock'em Sock'em.
Nope. A 2003. New Jersey Devils Stanley Cup DVD signed by Jeff Friesen in the basement right now. I will show it to you after if I can go find it.
I used to work with a guy that went to high school with Jeff Friesen. He's from Estevan, isn't he?
In that area. But that's one of the first finals I remember, and just Scott Stevens laying out Korea, him coming back and scoring.
You want to talk Scott Stevens. Scott Stevens' hit that rocked the world was his hit on Lindros.
Well, the Lindros, for sure. But that one on Korea was pretty much carbon copy. I mean, when you see Timo Meier laying down, he's unconscious. He wasn't, he was knocked out.
But there's two different, there's a big difference in this one. Korea didn't have the puck.
Well, it was kind of similar. Like, Korea dished it off to the left, and then he got hit. It was the same thing.
1,000, 2,000, 1,000, 3,000.
It was a lot bam. Weirder. And he was coming from the other side.
Yeah.
But.
And this, Timo Meier, Jacob Trouba hit him head on, train wreck, head on.
It was
on. And he did not raise his arm at all.
I don't even know how to explain this, because everyone's like, oh, well. I mean, his shoulder hit him right in the head.
Well, his face was right down.
According to the rule book, if head contact is unavoidable, because Timo Meier put himself in a horrible position.
He did not.
Horrible position.
Trouba did not lower or raise his body to aid. He didn't do anything. He didn't even. He went like this and rode straight.
His elbow was tucked. His elbow was tucked. He didn't leave his feet.
No.
He didn't leave his feet.
It's textbook.
Probably one of the hardest hits I've seen in the last 15 years.
It was up there.
I
think if you look back, you could find some more. But that was big.
The one hit that maybe I could think of was when Dustin Byfuglien blew up Mark Stone.
Yeah.
I kind of thought about that one. Or Nicholas Quanraw blowing up Hossa in the playoffs along the boards there. But I mean, dude, you got to keep your head up in the trolleys when Trouba's on the ice. You cannot be cutting across the ice with your head down.
Like, you know what?
You're just asking to get killed.
With the way these young kids play nowadays, that's going to happen more and more. Players don't play with their heads up. They don't.
The kids these days, they can't.
They're out there wheeling and dealing
with their head up. They're always looking down at the puck.
Well, that's because they haven't.
You're going to get killed.
Timo Meier will skate different the rest of his life now.
Oh, he will. He learned his lesson big time.
Right now he's eating out of a straw. Hopefully he knows what his name is today. I feel bad
Jesus
for him.
Jesus, fuck. Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, what a hit.
Let's fast forward over to the Tampa Bay-Toronto series.
Yeah.
This one also goes six games. And Toronto, Toronto got a scare. Because I'm telling you what, when Tampa won game five, everybody's asshole.
They were shitting their pants. Yeah,
they were puckered up.
Here we go again. Yada, yada, yada. Oh, yeah.
And then that goes to overtime. And it was good. That was a good hockey game.
Good.
It was a good
overtime. It was like 10 seconds.
No, the whole game was good. It was a good hockey game.
It was just a good one. And
there was only one guy in Toronto I wanted to score that. Not that I didn't want Toronto to win, but there was only one guy. And even though I picked him in my predictions, but the only guy in Toronto that I was okay with scoring was Tavares, and he did it.
Listen, isn't it crazy though? In 2016, Tavares ends the Islanders' 23 series drought, and then he ends Toronto's 19 year drought. It's kind of cool, a little tie in there, but. I mean, they finally got it done. They finally got over the hump. They finally slayed the dragon. I mean, when Cooper was explaining that was the first round they've lost in the Eastern Conference since 2019. Just think about that for a second. That is absolutely crazy to think about that. They went to the cup in 2020, went to the cup in 2021, went to the cup in 2022. Like, we talked about it. Like, eventually their time's going to come. Like, eventually they're going to lose, right?
They've got to hold their heads up high in Tampa. Oh, my gosh.
The fact that he even went to six and Vasilevskiy played that poor is kind of incredible, honestly.
I don't even fault him. I don't. I mean, how can you be?
What?
Okay, listen what I'm saying.
A lot of the tips, yeah, but.
Well, Blake. How many players on Tampa didn't have series like they should, but you're not pointing a finger at them?
Oh, no, I know. Like, Kucherov and Point didn't have a 5-on-5 goal.
This
guy's
arm's tired from holding the Stanley Cup up.
No, I know, but I just wish we would have seen Vasi play more games in the series like he did in 5 and 6, because he turned it on in 5 and 6. Like, he was unbelievable those two games. And Tavares ends up spinning and it goes off a D-man in front in the net. Tough shit goal always happens like that. But I gotta give credit to Toronto. I mean, we talked about the core four not producing, and they put up 42 points in six games. They did their job big time. Right?
So let's talk.
Marner, Matthews, Morgan Riley's played his best hockey in his career, I think, in these playoffs. He's been great.
Let's review our predictions in the East. I had Boston wrong. I had Toronto correct. I had Carolina correct. I had the Rangers wrong. So I had two right. You had Boston wrong. You had Tampa wrong. You had Carolina correct. You had the Rangers.
1-4.
Ouch.
Tough. Batting 25%.
Oof. Let's get on over to about as good as the Jays this year, huh?
Well,
actually, that would be really good.
18-12.
Okay, on to the Western Conference. Winnipeg, Vegas. Let's get through that one right away. Vegas, after losing to Winnipeg 5-1 in game one, rattle off four straight in fairly convincing fashion. We're not going to get into the post-series antics until later on in the show. But all in all, this series, I don't know. They were outmanned.
Outmanned is exactly what I was going to say. I mean,
it just is what it is. And there's not a lot to
Morrissey
say.
And you lose Scheifele.
You're done.
I mean, like, I think they could have survived without Scheifele. You can't survive without Morrissey, man. He plays 30 minutes.
Well, and they were missing Ehlers for half the time.
Ehlers.
And, right. I mean, Ehlers
He came back game five.
Honestly, I like I think Ehlers is one of the better players in the league, to be honest with you.
Okay, do you want to talk about this now, or do you want to talk about this later? Winnipeg.
Let's talk about it now.
Because they got a lot of decisions to make. A lot.
Well, so here's the difference here. So what happens is Bonus has a rant after the series is over, and I don't know that he was completely out of line. He said he was so disappointed and disgusted right now with this team's effort. I don't know.
Yeah, they played like shit in game five. What do you want him to say?
I don't know. Well, that's the millennial players now. You can't say negative things about the players. You don't want to hurt feelings, Blake.
And then the media availability, Wheeler goes, oh, he should have handled it differently, yada, yada, yada. Come and talk to us direct. It's like, he can say whatever he wants. Like, Bonus, don't sugarcoat shit.
No, did you hear what Hellebuck said? I thought Hellebuck's comments.
That he doesn't want to go through a rebuild, which tells me he's probably gone this summer.
Here's what it says. I just want to win a cup. I don't know what the future is for this team or what it looks like. I don't know what their plans are for me either. I don't know if I'm in or out. I'm not interested in a rebuild. We've had Byfuglien suddenly quit, Stastny calling them out, Maurice quitting, Bonus calling them out, and somehow the players act like they are innocent victims.
Yeah, it was eye-opening for him to say that, because, I mean, you got to think that he's one of the guys in that leadership room, right?
It just seems a mess in there right now. And now Bonus, it's Cheveldayoff has announced that Bonus will be back next year.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, from a Winnipeg Jets management standpoint, I don't know if that's a bad decision.
Let me pull up our favorite site here.
What's our favorite site?
Let me pull it up here. Cap Friendly. Let's pull it up.
What do you want to know on Cap Friendly?
They got a lot of decisions to make, dude. Think, like, you got Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has been, it's been the worst kept secret that he wants to go play in Montreal, okay? He's an RFA this summer, okay?
Okay.
You got to pay, Nemestikov's a free agent.
Yeah, but you've got big names signed long-term here. You've got
Hang on. So So the year after, you got Niederreiter up, you got Blake Wheeler up, and you got Mark Scheifele up. And Connor Hellebuyck is up. Wheeler, Scheifele, Hellebuyck all up after next year.
I know, but you've got Morrissey, Connor, Ehlers, Lowry, who I think is amazing, all locked up. Like, they're not going to want to go through a rebuild. This is not going to be a rebuild. This is going to be a retool.
I know, but like,
this is a retool.
It's a retool, but
this roster's good. My gosh. It's
good, but how are you getting rid of Blake Wheeler's 8.25 off the books? Oh. Nobody's taking that contract at 30. He's about to be 37.
You have him for one more year. You trade him next year at the deadline.
I guess, but like,
I think you
seriously have to consider trading Hellebuyck this summer.
Why?
Because I think you get the most value for him, because then you'll get him for a year.
Okay, so then who do you have playing goalie next year? Because David Riddick isn't going to do it.
No, I know. They're going to have to figure something out, but, I mean, you can't lose Hellebuyck for nothing if he walks. That would be brutal, right?
I don't disagree, but I think you need to have long, hard conversations. And you know what? Long, hard conversations. But, Blake, here's one of the things that people are forgetting. These guys are having these conversations one day after getting knocked out of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Are they in the right frame of mind to anybody be talking?
Well, we've been talking about this with Winnipeg for the last 3 years on this podcast.
Well, no, we know they can't run it back. We know they can't run it back.
But they have the last 3 years.
I know. We know they can't, right? So like, what are you going to do?
We've talked about this core literally for the last 6 years on this podcast.
Let me just put it in an example. You can blow this core. This team is exact same as the Flames. So you can blow the core up and do like Calgary did last year. Then what?
That's a good point.
It's not any different. No. This roster is the same as Calgary's. It's freaking the same thing. They got a good goalie. Yeah. They got a good solid defenseman. Pretty deep all the way through it. The forwards are pretty good. Some of them are. Some of them are aging. It's the same thing as Calgary. This is the exact same roster.
What would you do?
I would play out next year. I'd trade Wheeler at the deadline. I would talk to Hellebuck and try to re-sign him. If he's not going to re-sign, I'd trade him. You got Morrissey. You're keeping him. You're keeping Schmidt. Unfortunately, you got Schmidt. Nobody wants him. Pionk's a hidden treasure, I think. I think you re-signed Brandon Dillon. I think he's been good. Samberg was okay this year. Logan Stanley was fine this year. I mean, you look through this, and you look at the roster. Barron was fine. Nemesnikov was good for them. Mason Appleton's great at a great price. Lowry's a freaking steal at 3.2. I mean, Niederreiter, yeah. You evaluate that, see how it goes. You trade Pierre-Luc Dubois and get a return there.
Yeah,
you got Ehlers. That, you know what you get there. Shifley, you shop him. You get rid of Shifley and Wheeler at deadline next year, and what you can turn out of those, you use as an infuse some youth, and you see what happens.
Yeah.
It's your only choice.
It's going to be an interesting summer for them, I think.
Yeah, I think it will. I agree with you. Let's roll on into the Seattle-Colorado series, which goes seven. A series that, yeah, we wrote it off. Seattle wins game one, Colorado wins game two, Colorado wins game three. So we're up 2-1. Seattle ties it up, then Seattle goes ahead. Colorado in game six looked really, really good. Comes back, wins 4-1, and I think, hey, this thing's in the tank. And then whammo-bammo, Seattle comes away and figures out how to win late in game seven.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, when Colorado won in Seattle in game six, I was like, I don't think Seattle can win. I think that was their chance, right? We talked in game.
I thought so too.
They won game one, and then they blew that 2-0 lead in game two, and we're like, oh, that's a big missed opportunity there for Seattle, right? Let's Colorado back in the series. But they just they're so fast, man. Like, I love watching this Seattle team. They're so fast. Like, there's not many teams that can skate with Colorado like that. Like, they went toe to toe with them skating wise. What was your thoughts on that Eberle hit?
Oh, that was bad.
Guy's got a fractured fucking neck.
I don't care. I don't look at the injury. I don't care. I'm okay, tired. Like, no, just time out. Time out.
No injury so bad.
Time out. I am tired of this league penalizing based off the injury. I looked at the hit and I thought the hit was bad. Whether he got hurt or didn't get hurt, I thought the hit was bad.
Yeah.
That's just the facts. I'm surprised that something more didn't come there. I really am.
Yeah. Like, everybody's not a dirty player either, he's not. But it doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. Like Makar's not a dirty player. He still got suspended.
Let's talk about that. I watched that hit. I thought that was brutal.
It was one of the worst hits.
I know you're going back. You're probably shitting your pants and diapers.
Are you talking to Hunter?
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. Well, it was, I obviously wasn't alive for that, but well, I've seen it.
It was late.
He scored a goal and he drilled him in the corner.
Yeah, that was obviously after a goal and late, so not the same. Not really a fair comparison.
But like the thing about the hit is, if he had the puck, we're not even talking about this. We're not even talking about it. But the puck is almost up the wall at the blue line, and he just creams the guy.
Okay, the puck was nowhere to be found. It's a late hit, even if the puck is in play.
But if like the puck's in his feet, it's not a penalty.
It could be almost close to a head shot, and it was really close to a slew foot too.
Right.
This is more than a game in my mind.
Yeah, I probably would have given him two.
But he doesn't get more than that because it's Cale Makar.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, you know. Okay, I got to get your opinion on another topic. Valerie Nichushkin. What the hell's going on here?
Listen, I haven't read enough info to comment.
I have read a bunch.
But it is it seems a little fishy.
Fishy my ass. Like, this seems like he is, like, there's problems here. According to what I read, I read an article.
Did I read correctly that he brought a girl to his hotel room?
I read it. Okay, here's what I read out of the Denver Post. That he was involved in a police incident in a hotel in Seattle, resulting in which a woman was found intoxicated in his room and had to be transported to the hospital for medical treatment.
Not great.
Not when you're in the middle of a playoff series, right?
Not great.
Get your life together, man. Like, holy cats.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was shocked. Yeah. All right. LA Edmonton. Edmonton wins this series 4-2. And yeah. I'm gonna give LA credit on this one. I thought LA was pretty darn good in this series.
Yep. They what have we been saying? If Edmonton gets power plays, they are going to win a lot of games. They were getting power plays first two games. Game three, that game five was incredible. Game four.
Game four.
It was game four. Game four, chance to go up 3-1 in the series.
They had a 3-0 lead, right? And then
3-0 lead and blow it.
Then just, it was 3-3 after two.
The wheels fell off the bus.
Yeah. I didn't think Korpisalo was as good as he should have been in this series.
No. But their power play woke him up, right? Draisaitl, McDavid, Evander Kane had a couple of huge goals. Obviously, Hyman, Yamamoto had the
winner. You know what the difference was, though? Like, Warren Fogle is a good hockey player. They got some guys on their depth that are coming. Did you see Yamamoto get hit in game six? Holy cats.
And then he comes back, scores the winner.
I'm glad he got hit. I don't like him.
Boy, like, I felt so bad for Skinner on that goal. He goes to play the puck, his stick just shatters.
Wait a second. You do not ever feel bad for an Edmonton Oiler. You are a Vancouver Canucks fan.
No, I'm a goalie, dude, and I felt bad. Like that your stick breaks at the worst opportunity possible. It honestly reminded me of when Smith let a goal in against Calgary from the other ice last year.
That had nothing to do with a broken stick. That was just
But I'm just saying, like, it's just a weird goal. Something like that. Like, to think that could have costed Edmonton their season's kind of crazy to think about, but Edmonton, I think the better team won. LA had their shot and they missed.
Is Adrian Kempe not one of the better players in the National Hockey League?
He is. He's so underrated. I love Kempe. He's so underrated. He's making like $4 million too.
You take him and Adam Lowry, and I'm trying to figure out which one was more of a breakout player in round one.
Yeah.
Both of them. Really good hockey players. Minnesota Wild, Dallas Stars, the final series to wrap in the Western Conference. 4-2. Minnesota just folded up.
It's like they ran out of gas. And it's like
they just folded up. They lose game 4, 3-2, and then it was just curtains. I mean, they're up 2-1.
And they stormed back on 3 in a row.
Yep, and it was 3-2, 4-0, 4-1.
It was the old Ottinger show. It's a brick wall last three games.
And Kirill Kaprizov was just a no-show.
Yeah, I mean,
it was a no-show.
I think they missed Eriksson-Ek a lot this series.
Sure. He had a broken leg. Tried to play.
Yeah, broken leg. Yeah, he tried to play in a broken tibia or fibia. I don't remember what it was.
Hey, what did you think of the Foligno knee?
I thought that was a bad call. I think the refs were licking their chops for him to do something stupid after he called him out the game before. So I knew that was going to be a 5. It was dirty. He lunged at him, stuck his knee out.
He didn't even hit him, though.
He hit. It was knee on knee. Come on. Knee on knee. I don't know. I thought Minnesota. I picked Minnesota to go to the conference finals. Like, they disappointed me. A loss. Like, they pissed me off, man. I'm not even going to bullshit with you.
Let's recap the Western Conference and talk about who we picked. I had Colorado wrong. I had Minnesota wrong. I had Winnipeg wrong. I had Edmonton correct. We got 1 in the West, 2 in the East. Not good.
Hey, I was 50%.
You had Colorado wrong, Minnesota wrong, Vegas correct, Edmonton correct.
Batting 500.
We're exactly the same. We're exactly the same.
No. Yeah. No, you were 1-4.
I was 1 better in the East. You were 1 better in the West. We're equal.
Yeah, that's true.
Equally crappy.
Not good. So last year we were like 7-8.
I know. Well, this isn't last year. This series is, this is crazy. This Stanley Cup playoffs, Blake. If you think about this, every team that advanced to the second round, none of them have won the cup. The most recent is 2006.
Pause. That's one of my questions. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about preview this. Eastern Conference, Toronto, Florida, Carolina, New Jersey. Who do you have? How many games?
I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm going to take Toronto in six games.
I took Toronto in six.
Even though they lost today, I thought they played well enough to win. Like, I'll say that. I thought they played well enough to win. Bobrovsky made some huge saves. But if they can figure out Flores forecheck and slowly contain Tkachuk, I think they'll be able to win.
I've got Carolina in seven.
I got Carolina in six. I think it'd be a good series.
I think it will be
a really good series. Well, I mean, I picked Carolina to start with, so I got to stick with them.
I did too. I got them going to the finals, man, against Edmonton. Both my teams are alive.
Both my teams. One of my teams is alive.
Western Conference, Dallas, Seattle. I've got Dallas winning that in six.
Well, Fottinger plays like this all game. We might be in for a long series.
I made my predictions this afternoon, so.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas in seven games.
I've got Edmonton over Vegas in six, but I think it's going to be death.
I got Edmonton in seven, and that they're just going to kill each other.
I can't wait to watch this.
It is going to be like heavyweight punch after punch after punch after punch.
What series are you most excited for? Which series are you least excited for?
Well, obviously, like, the Eichel versus McDavid thing, right? Like, we've been waiting for that since 2015, right? And we haven't got any of it, right? I mean, that's going to be the big storyline for that one. Obviously, I really enjoyed the Toronto-Florida game today.
I think that'll be a good series. I thought
that was a really good game. So, yeah, probably those two series.
I would agree that those are the two that I have earmarked. I'm probably least excited for the Devils series, but that's probably not even fair to... It ended up being a great series last time, so I don't know. How do I get negative about it? But all right, time to go around at the NHL. Just a few odds and ends to talk about before we get to three questions. Sutter fired in Calgary Monday, announced by interim general manager Don Maloney, that Daryl Sutter would not be returning, and 2 years remain in his contract, $8 million. Sutter's gone. Is this surprising to you?
No, because I said that they would both be gone after the season. You let Treliving go. That's
what's weird to me is I think one of the reasons Treliving left was because Sutter was still there.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, if you fire the GM, the GM's going to want to bring his own guy in, right? I mean,
Unless you're Vancouver.
Like I said, if you do it backwards and the owner hires the coach for the GM and the president, that's where you end up.
Vancouver is with
Boudreaux. Right. Dumb. You get rid of them both. You start fresh. I don't know how much money they have to spend on a coach, but I wouldn't be surprised if that Love coach from the Wranglers was promoted. That wouldn't surprise me at all. What is his name? Mitch Love?
Mitch Love, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Mitch Love, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised because, like, they're going to have to pay Sutter $4 million this year, $4 million next year. Like, I don't know how much budget they have to pay a coach.
I don't know. We're going to find out.
But the reason why I think that's a seamless transition is he's coached all those young guys like Pelletier and Coronado, all those young guys coming up.
He has not coached Coronado.
All those young guys, Pelletier, etc. Like, he's coached all those guys,
etc. So that's the only prospect we have.
They're used to him. They're used to his system stuff. And those guys are going to be pushing for spots next year. So, it was telling Huberto's comments. That was brutal. Apparently, they didn't work on the power play once, which is absurd. Like, I don't believe that at all. There's no way that happened.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I do know this. And here's my take on this. I think Daryl Sutter's a really good hockey coach. I think he'll be a Hall of Fame hockey coach. My problem is... I don't think the inmates should be running the asylum.
Is he too hard up for this generation of hockey?
Probably.
Too hard of a coach?
Kids don't like accountability anymore. Right? No. And that's right. That's too bad. That's too bad. But here's one of the things that, but that is a sign of the times. But here's one of the things that, I don't even remember where I was going with this, to be honest with you. I think Daryl Sutter's a good hockey coach. Did he make some poor-ass decisions this year? Absolutely. I can make a list. I have a list. A lot of bad decisions in Calgary. I don't think he handled personnel very well. The fact that he's got, you know, Lucic out there in the third period down by a goal is mind-blowing to me. There's a whole bunch of things you can go on and on and on. And
I think there was a
power trip battle between him and Treliving, and I don't think Sutter ever backs down. He's a stubborn man, but he's a guy that I'll always respect. I'll always think highly of, and hopefully he can move on and just enjoy his farm life and be with his family, which is his most.
It was pretty crazy how, like, you know, when it says like so and so has joined the chat or whatever. I saw a tweet that Lindholm, Uyghur, and Mangiapane were watching the press conference with the Calgary Flames owner that they fired Sutter. So, like obviously, the players must have went up to the owner and said, listen, like, we don't want to play for this guy.
Well, they did. Happened. They had hour-long meetings. But I don't agree with that. I mean, I don't think you can say, I'm not going to play for this guy. What if he said, Lindholm would say,
if you're going to keep this guy, I'm leaving next year. I'm walking in free agency. And you obviously want to try and keep him, right? But
12 months ago, Lindholm and all these guys thought Sutter was the greatest thing that ever walked the earth after they went into the playoffs as a Western Conference. Well,
yeah,
Lindholm
played on the best line in hockey, and those two players were gone this year.
But here's the deal. We get a few more saves, and we get a whole few more this and that. Calgary's a whole different ballgame this year, right?
No,
right, and I'm not protecting Sutter. He made a lot of problems this year. But here's the deal that I think is forgotten in Calgary. They've rattled through like 8 coaches in like 9 years.
I know.
And they keep saying, "Well, this core just doesn't da 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 da." So they switch the core,
they change the core,
and we still get mediocrity, right? And then we point the finger at the coach and go, "It's his fault. Our goalie was below sub 900 save percentage. It's his fault that he can't win a face off. It's his fault that he's not, you know." It's like, come on, you guys.
Well, the blame always comes on the coach and the GM, because you can't fire the players. You can't fire the players. So.
Well, if they could, there'd be a lot of players gone, right?
But yeah, I think Mitch Love is the next coach in Calgary. That would not surprise me. Calgary's still got a good team. Like they got a good roster. They got a good goaltender. I love their defense. I think Shillington has to get back to being top four D-man. He has to be back in the top four.
He's already announced he's coming back next year.
It's a huge loss for them this year. Yeah. So
everybody forgets about all these things. Also,
getting him back, I don't know.
Zach Parise, is he done?
I don't know. I haven't read anything. What did he say?
Well, there was an article I read in the newspaper and one of the New York.
Well, he's what, 39, 38?
38. And it was that he sat alone in the locker room. The whole time the media was in there staring straight ahead at his skates. Finally, Kyle Palmieri, after the interviews were done, walked across the room and hugged him and touched his forehead and walked away. But I don't know. I don't know if he plays again.
Yeah, like I think Bergeron's done too. Like, I think
Parise, is a side note, Parise went on to say that the only team he would continue playing for is the Islanders.
Really?
It's either the Islanders or he's done.
Must like Lou.
Well, I think he's just, he knows he does it as in, he's not going to move his family again for a year.
Right.
Right? I mean, I wouldn't. Yeah. So. Salary cap penalties. 15 teams have incurred performance bonus overage that will affect their carryover into 23-24, led by the Boston Bruins, who are going to be penalized $4.5 million.
Yeah, for Krejci and Bergeron, right?
Yep. Flyers are penalized heavy, Montreal heavy. I mean, jeez, it's crazy.
What's Vancouver at? Are they on there?
They are. They were one of the lower ones. I'm trying to read. I got some technical difficulties tonight with my computer, so I'm trying to. I'm doing this whole different. They're at about almost $1,850,000 penalty.
Mm. That's not too great. Bad. That's probably from Kuzmenko.
You guys are used to that. You had the Luongo contract that hung over you for a freaking decade, and you guys are used to penalties.
3 years, 3 years, You're used to penalties.
Yeah. Bad things.
We had to pay Halak up 1.2 this year.
Yeah. All kinds of good decisions.
But anything else around the league?
Yeah, doomsday looms in.
Mm.
You know, there's an election coming up here. Not an election, a vote. A vote. It was voted by Tempe City Council 7-0 on November 10th to allow residents to vote for the project in a special election May 16th. We're going to find out a lot in 14 days. Listen,
if that vote goes south, their ass is, they're moving next year.
They have to.
Gone.
They have out. To. They have to.
So what city?
That's easy. It's already done.
Houston?
Yeah.
No, they'll just play in where the Rockets play.
Yeah. It's done. Dude, it's
done. What would your team name be for Houston?
Probably the Houston Coyotes.
Stop. You're so creative. Get to sleep, man. Get some rest for that brain.
You know what I would do?
Houston Arrows, bring them back.
Yeah, that'll be all right.
Because that was the WHA, right?
Yeah. Do you really want to piss somebody off? Be the Houston Oilers.
That was NFL team, right?
Yeah, it was NFL
team. Yeah, yeah.
You know, craziness. All right, time to roll on into three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Last week I fired three questions at Blake. It's his turn this week. Fire away.
So I pulled up here on the old cellular device. What was your biggest surprise player in round one?
Adam Lowry.
Really? That easy, eh?
Adam Lowry. That guy, I would give my right nut to have him on my team. Love that
Anybody
guy.
Anybody else?
Who did I mention? I mentioned the other guy earlier in the show. The hell, who was it? I just drew a blank. I just mentioned it. I said he was the other breakout player. Gosh, who was? Oh, Adrian Kempe.
Yeah.
Two good ones.
Other than Boston, okay? Other than Boston.
Yeah.
Was there a team that got eliminated that surprised you with how they played?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to say that they expected Colorado to struggle like they did. I don't think anybody's going to say that. I mean, New York dropping two straight with zero goal production from all those superstars. Is anybody going to say that was expected? No.
Yeah.
Those would be the two biggest ones.
Okay. So Carolina hasn't won since 06. New Jersey, 03. Toronto, 1967. Florida hasn't won a cup. Vegas hasn't won a cup. Seattle hasn't won a cup. Edmonton hasn't won since 90, and Dallas won in 99. Okay.
Okay.
So. I look at this, and I really don't care who wins because they haven't won in a long time or they've never won. Okay. No.
You want me to tell you who I want and who I don't want?
Who are you rooting for?
Oh, yeah.
This is a two-part question. Who are you rooting for, and what do you think would be the most exciting finals?
The most exciting finals, like seriously, top excitement would be Toronto Edmonton.
Right.
That'd be the most exciting.
It'd be off the charts.
Okay. But here's what I want. Carolina
and Seattle.
Just listen to me. I'm going to go through each team quickly. I can't have the Devils win. Although I'm cheering for this young goalie cuz I like him.
I
kind of like their style. I watched the Devils be so good for so long in the 90s, it makes me want to puke, right? So I'm sick of the Brodeur thing. I'm sick of looking at that logo, and I don't really care if they suck for another decade. As far as Carolina goes, you know how my run-ins with Carolina is. And now I'm a
the death threats will come down a bit.
Now I hate the surge, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm a reborn Carolina guy. I'm supporting this team. I'd like to see them go. Florida, right?
I'd support them too if I got death threats.
Everybody hates the freaking Florida Panthers right now, right? They hate them. I love them. I love the way they're playing. I like the way they're playing. Toronto, you know what? I think it's good that Toronto's into the second round, and I wouldn't mind seeing them go into the third. As a matter of fact, I had them losing to Boston. Well, I can't help it. So I got them going into my predictions to the next round. I like the way they play. They're a good hockey team. They really, really are. I don't trust Samsonov in goal. And quite honestly, having to watch Toronto fans jump up and down the throat, can't watch it. Sorry. Edmonton. I've never, besides Elias Pettersson or however you say his name, I don't know that I want to see.
Stop.
I don't want to.
We're not going down the road whining. Stop.
I'm tired of watching McDavid. As much as I'll give him the respect he deserves, he's an
You're just trying
player.
To get me going because Petey doesn't even whine. No, just stop just, it.
But here, McDavid is so good and he is so such a game changer. But he's a whiner and it makes me just.
Well, the thing about McDavid is for his legacy, he needs a cup.
And being a Calgary Flames fan, I can't cheer for the Oilers. My God, like seriously. And you know what? Your little peckerhead over there, you're supposedly a Vancouver Canucks fan, but I can guarantee you the hidden cameras in your house got you given the little arm pump underneath the table when Edmonton won.
I've got spies. No, you can't even ask my dad. That never happened.
I've got spies out on you right now.
You're full of shit.
I'll have video. You're full of shit. I'll have video by the end of this thing.
Okay. You show video all you want. That never happened.
All right. Well, I got pictures of you in an Oilers jersey. I got one.
That was 6 years
ago. I'm sorry. I got one, man. If Canucks fan, after you guys went to the Cup Finals, and after that you put on an Edmonton Oilers jersey, that's awful.
I lost a bet.
That was not a bet. No, it wasn't a bet. Yes, that's the second you told me that you were just with your uncle having a good time that night. Yeah. I know the story here, so don't give me no shit here.
Okay. I heard no fist bumps, though.
Yeah, I bet you. No fist bumps. I got people watching you. Vegas. I can't cheer for Vegas. They steal the pedals off their freaking exercise bikes so that the Jets can't work out. That's Bush League. They've been beating the salary cap for 3 years now. They treat players like shit. I can't cheer for them. Seattle Kraken, I hate that city more than anything, but you know what? I'm kind of... It's a shithole in America. Nobody wants to be in Seattle. They got homeless people shitting in the streets and stuff. You know what? I'm cheering for this team. You want to know why? They're exciting and they're fast, and I like their coach. Yeah. Okay, they're a fun team to watch, and I'm cheering.
Dave Hakstol, former North Dakota,
but not even put that aside. They have a lot of players that are really, really doing well, and they're a fun team to watch. And I'll give them the credit, and I'm cheering for them because you know what? I don't like the Dallas Stars. You want to know why I don't like the Dallas Stars? Because they moved out of Minnesota in 1992, which is fucking bullshit.
Minnesota Nostas. Hey, there's another guy that was a surprise in round one was Oliver Bjorkstrand.
Yep.
Boy, he's good.
Really good. Really good player. He's really good. Old Portland Winterhawk. All right. Yeah. Listener question. Philadelphia announced that second round.
Philadelphia, you mean Florida?
That'll be a decade.
Where have you been, buddy?
It'll be a decade before Philadelphia wins.
Jesus Christ.
The Florida Panthers announced that second round playoff tickets would only be sold to residents of the United States. Basically locking out Toronto Maple Leafs fans. Do you think this is appropriate or fair? I'm going to let you answer it, and then I'll give you my 2 cents.
A, it's weak as fuck. B, it's not going to work. And C, if you're an owner, wouldn't you want for Leaf fans to come down and make the most money you can? You want to sell all your rink, man. Florida has the worst fans in the league.
Let me throw my 2 cents in here. I think Florida has the worst fans in the league. One of the worst, right? Okay. So should this be the team doing this? No, absolutely not.
No.
But you know what I like about it? For once, an owner's standing up going, God damn it, I ain't letting those son of bitches in my arena. We're going to cheer and we're going to win.
Okay, but right? I guarantee you, game three, game four rolls around, it's going to be half blue in the stands because they're going to find a way to buy tickets.
You got to love that. But here's another thing. If a Toronto Maple Leafs, just hear me out on this. If a Toronto Maple Leafs fan is really mad, you know who you should direct your anger towards? Your team's management for charging $2,000 for tickets.
It's insane, dude. I was looking at resale tickets, and the nosebleeds for tonight's game is like $1,000.
That's where who you should be mad at is your ownership group for jacking ticket prices. All right. So is this right that they're doing it? Probably not. Is it cool because
it's not going to work? It's not going to work.
Yeah, it is.
We're still going to be so much blue in the stands.
I bet you there won't be. It'll be tough. It'll be tougher. How are you going to get around that?
They'll just buy like off StubHub, Ticketmaster. Yeah,
there will be
Game Time.
Yeah, there will be.
They'll find a way to do it. The scalpers at the down. Yeah, they'll find a way.
They'll find a way. I know, but it's still pretty cool.
It's cheaper to go down Florida, pay for your flight, and go to both games than it is to go to one in Toronto.
So whose problem is that?
No, I know. It's MLS either. They're greedy.
Yes, greed runs the ship. Greed runs the ship, right?
It is kind of stupid, though. It's stupid.
It's crazy. I kind of like it in the fact that, like, it just gives a little bit extra to this series, right? It's yeah. a little more kick in the ass for the series. We'll that's go, already really, really a good series.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's good.
We better get the hell out of here, as this was
we're on an hour here. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Long one.
Long one, yep.
Monday night's tonight. We're usually here Monday nights. I know Tuesday nights some this week because the way the playoffs worked out. Next week, we're back Monday night for another playoff edition of the Debate Hockey Podcast. Next week, our show is going to be just an hour or so after the NHL draft lottery. So we're going to have a lot.
Uber's getting bedarred. I'm manifesting
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to talk about with the draft lottery next week. We'll be about midway through round two. Going to have a tons to talk about. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back Monday night, same place, same time, talking hockey every week on the Debate Hockey Podcast. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.